Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
I'm here on the job site with Dale, who's a framing contractor.
Hey, good morning.
Dale traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for all his business vehicles. We're here where he needs us most.
Yep, they sure are.
We make it easy for him to save on all his insurance needs, all in one place, with coverage that fits his business and bottom line. Oh, I shouldn't have looked down.
It's all right.
We're so far up here.
Look at me. Take a deep breath.
Oh, I'm good. So good.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. Get more with Geico.
The ADBFN podcast with Justin Waite.
Welcome to the podcast, episode 349. On the podcast today, full-time trader and investor Andy Blow talks about technical analysis, charts, and AIM. And it's been it's hard few weeks on AIM. Stocks are just grinding lower and lower and lower. And when you think they're about to stop and bounce, they grind lower again. And so we talk about what to do in this situation. And Andy gives, some cracking pointers. And it's all about research. And I often say on the podcast, financial cliches have a ring of truth to them. And that's why they're cliches, And one of these cliches is do your own research. And I wrote a blog piece on the weekend about, diversification being a bit of nonsense, really. Because if you know the companies you're invested in, you should be confident in them. And having, more than 10 companies is hard to keep a track of. If you know 5 companies inside out, you should perform better than holding 10 companies. Because it's really hard to do that. So, we talk about that. Very interesting. Talks about the charts. And it also talks about IRG. And I got the CEO from IRG, Independent Resources, coming on the podcast later in the week. So that's interesting. So, and he sent me the chart. Check that out. The annotated chart of that. Go to sharepickers.com. I also have the penny stock with potential. Sent in by G-Man. Thanks, G-Man. I'll read that out in a bit. And this podcast is dedicated to Johnny Two Spoons. Give me a 5-star rating and review on iTunes. And I will dedicate the podcast to you if you do the same by going to iTunes, give me a 5-star review. And, just tell me what you're doing, where you are when you listen to the podcast, what you're interested in and all that. And I will dedicate this podcast to you. But Johnny Two Spoons, this episode 349 is yours. Joining me on the podcast right now is full-time trader, investor, Blowster, or Andy Blowster on Twitter. Thanks for joining me again, Andy.
Yeah, well, it's great to be on again. Before we start, I actually just wanted to mention just how useful these kind of podcasts you've been doing, in particular recently, not just to kind of those new to trading and looking to learn, but also to professional traders like myself, because I find it really interesting listening to what different strategies other people use, especially on the AIM market. And it's given me a lot of kind of food for thought in adapting my personal strategy.
A couple of examples would be
obviously Smudge Dan. I found that quite interesting, listening to his one, because he specifically targets sub 5 million market cap companies that are off people's radars. And you've got the people like... who was it? Oh, Top Info.
Yeah.
A bit different as well. I mean, he just focuses on RNSs and reacting quick to them and digesting the information. And it's interesting. A lot of food for thought, really. So,
exactly. I listened to Smudge Dan, when I was talking to him, I thought, it really makes sense what he's saying here. He had a strategy when he first started, and he started doing quite well, but then he took a big hit, and it made him sort of a lot of guys reevaluate what they're doing. And he decided to, rather than chase everything that was hot, he decided to, stick with companies he knows or he thinks he knows a little bit about, and he sticks away from the resource sector pretty much. And then, I agree. I think, people say you should diversify, but sometimes if you hold too many companies, you can't know everything about every company. And so I think get them down to a manageable number and know them inside out if you can, or know as much about them as possible, and then go bigger. And that's what Smudge Dan has done. And he's done with Box Hill there, and he's doing really well. I think he's also into Paragon Entertainment. And I think it makes sense, isn't it? Because when you think of it,
I wrote a blog post. Clear strategy, really, isn't it?
Yeah, and I wrote a blog post the weekend saying, if you are a a business owner and you have one business and do well, it's probably partly because you're involved in that business 100%. If you start starting new businesses one after another, you lose focus on your initial business, and yet people think you have to have 15, 25 stocks in your portfolio, and it's hard to manage, I think. Really
can't keep track of that. I certainly can't, no.
Yeah, but you're right. I mean, it's nice to see. I mean, you know, when I've got to say that the most popular podcast at the moment are you guys that come on, because you're doing it. And, you know, if I get
I said, it helps not only the guys new to trading, but also helps people like myself who have got quite a few years' experience behind me, because it's just interesting seeing what other successful individuals do and what strategies they adopt. And some of them are very similar to myself. Others are completely different. And there's no right or wrong way to do it. It's just interesting hearing other people's strategies. So, I just wanted to mention that before we kick off, really.
I like getting CEOs on. But of course, if someone's not invested in a certain company, they may not be interested in that CEO. But everyone enjoys, because obviously everyone are investing or trading. So everyone likes to hear how other people do it, which is quite good, especially, you know, successful guys like yourself. Having said that, the market at the moment, AIM, it's hard work to make money in this market. I mean, would you consider yourself more a trader or more investor?
I've changed a little bit more to the investor side of things over the probably past 12 months, and ironically that's when I've had most of my success. But I mean really it does depend on the stock. Obviously I'm massively into technical analysis, and I think when the market's very quiet, it's almost impossible to trade. And when I say trade, I mean kind of try and day trade various stocks, because with that you need volume and liquidity and volatility, and we've had none of that for, I don't know, 2, 3, 4 weeks now, have we? So it's pretty much impossible. All you can really do in these markets is do a lot of good research, pick some companies that are looking oversold and undervalued, with potential news flow catalysts to come, and start loading up and just have a bit of patience. It's been very boring for me. But at the end of the day, as far as AIM is concerned, it's just about accumulating positions. And
have confidence in the companies you know a lot about, and you see they're undervalued, and just accumulate slowly. Is that the case?
Take advantage of the, generally the market makers bring the stocks down to try and increase liquidity. And you've obviously got private investors getting bored and selling on. So it all creates kind of bargain opportunities. And a lot of the time these stocks are brought down unjustly. As soon as momentum, volume, liquidity picks up in the AIM market, and we've got another kind of bull market cycle, then you'll see money flow back in, and suddenly everyone will be on some quite nice profits. So that's my plan in terms of the AIM market at the moment, just accumulate and have a bit of patience.
Yeah, so what do you do as far as trading is concerned? Like you said, trading's hard work. Do you look at other areas? Where do you go? What do you look at?
Well, when the AIM market's very quiet, obviously I am looking at adding to my positions and trying to accumulate. But in addition to that, I do a little bit of trading on the FTSE and the DAX and some of the global indices. Just really applying the same technical analysis techniques, a few kind of other techniques like trading the gaps, which is simply the difference between the open price and the close price. Mm-hmm. In fact, I've got that the wrong way around. It's the close price from the previous day and the open price creates gaps.
Yeah. And what do those gaps mean? They're support and resistance, are they?
Not necessarily support and resistance. I mean, they do act as that, especially historical gaps that haven't been filled. But quite simply, although future prices continue after 4:30 when the FTSE UK markets close, there's no actual price activity in that area. So when the market then opens and it's, for example, higher than the previous close, it's a probability game. The chances are at some point during the day, we'll get some price action towards that gap, which means that you can obviously trade that. It's a very complex area, but I've just been working on a few techniques which, when the AIM market is quiet, just gives you an opportunity to still earn a bit of income, especially as a full-time trader like myself. So there's a few things you can do. Obviously technical analysis is far more applicable to trading kind of high volume indices as opposed to kind of low volume AIM markets. So again, the same rules kind of apply on that.
Yeah, so if someone's listening now and they're not really into charts and don't know much about charting, and you use it a lot, especially with AIM stocks, and I've heard some people even say, oh, TA doesn't work, technical analysis doesn't work for AIM stocks. What do you say to that?
Well, I mean, obviously, I post a lot of charts on my Twitter account, and largely the focus is on the AIM market. I mean, I just want to highlight the fact that it's important for people to remember that it's very dependent on volume and liquidity. The more volume, the more reliable technical analysis can be. And this is the problem on AIM compared to the really liquid, high-volume FTSE 100 companies. I mean, technical analysis simply looks at historical data and the subsequent patterns. So for me, it's largely a self-fulfilling prophecy. The more people that see a support level, for example, the more people that will buy it, and the price will bounce.
Yeah.
That's why volume is key on AIM, because the more volume, the more reliable the technical analysis. And there's a saying out there, which it's not my saying, but I've kind of latched onto it because I think it's very, very good. And it's called KISS trading. Mm-hmm. I don't know whether you fancy hazarding a guess what KISS actually stands for.
Is it, well, the only one I know is keep it simple, stupid.
Yes, keep it simple, stupid. Yeah, it's a fantastic saying because the easier it is to see something on the chart, the more chance other people will see it.
Yeah.
And if other people see it, it will have an impact on the price. You've got a lot of professional Forex and commodity traders who are kind of using harmonics and complex Elliott wave patterns, which is absolutely fine on really liquid markets where you've got institutions and other professional traders seeing the same patterns and levels. But when you're dealing with lower volume, illiquid stocks on the AIM market, it's really the simpler the better. I mean, horizontal support and resistance lines, you've got trend lines, you've got moving averages, maybe even your Fib levels, but it doesn't need to be massively complex. And there's no reason why everyone can't learn the basics very easily, because it will give you an edge when you're picking your entries and exits and spotting trend lines. I'm by no means an expert. I kind of taught myself, gained experience over the years, and there's some fantastic technical analysis guys out there, but it's really about finding what works for you, and that's the key. There's different indicators and techniques which will suit different investors and traders, but it's all very subjective in its nature because it's simply based on the interpretation of historical data. So you don't want to look too hard for things that aren't there. It really is about the simpler the better. Stick to the basics, and it can really, it definitely can give you an edge on the market.
All right. So what are the basics then you would advise them to look at, being new to the charting?
Well, like I mentioned, just the basics are simply horizontal resistance and support lines are very useful, and that's simply where a price has stalled historically before. So 1p, for example, stock hits 1p and then sells off, hits 1p again, sells off. The next time it hit 1p, that is a resistance level. So therefore, if it pushes above 1p, then it becomes a support level. So it's just looking at horizontal resistance and support lines are very useful. You've also got trend lines. So when a price is trending upwards, you'll have higher highs, higher lows, and you'll have a channel going upwards. And these trend lines and channels are very useful for kind of picking your buy points and sell points in a uptrending or downtrending market. Moving averages are very good. Like I think I said on a previous podcast, I tend to stick to the longer time frames on AIM. So I'm looking at 200 moving average, the 50 and maybe the 100 moving average as well, just as kind of reasonable levels to be aware of when looking at support. And again, Fibonacci, it's worth probably having a quick look at Fibonacci because you've got retracement and extension levels there, which are quite useful when not only picking entries and exits, but also looking at companies that are trading higher than they've ever traded before. It gives you some kind of idea where to go, but it doesn't need to be massively complex. It just, AIM isn't dictated by the charts, but the charts can give you an edge if you combine it with fundamentals, short-term news flow, volume, and just adds another string to the bow. So I would certainly disagree with anyone who says it's completely useless, but I would also disagree that AIM stocks follow charts like they do FTSE 100 companies or obviously the global indices, the Forex, the commodity markets, etc.
Yeah. So let's, for example, I don't know if you can do this, but is there a chart you're looking at recently that you can maybe send over to me, and I'll put it on sharepickers.com as well, and can you look through a little bit of a, you know, obvious support there? Is there any chance you've been looking at it? I mean, I'm putting you on the spot here, but are there any chances?
Oh, you want one at the moment, do you?
Well, we can, yeah, and in fact, name a stock. In fact, what stock are you liking at the moment? Can we have a look at the chart on there and see if there's any patterns there at all?
Yeah, let's go for it. Okay, so a stock that I've been looking at in particular recently is Independent Resources, which is IRG. And I think, ironically, Greg is on the podcast with you this week at some point, isn't he?
Yes. Thanks to Bell for that, because Bell's he's getting in contact.
That.
Yeah, so, okay, so I've got a year chart there on IRG. Wow, and I can see straight away there's some strong support, isn't it, at the level we're at, pretty much. Is that right?
Yeah, I mean, so you have a quick look at the chart, and you can see that the 0.5, 0.6 area, there's a lot of support. It's bounced there a few times. You've got this kind of consolidating pattern in that range. There's always been a bounce when it's hit there the three or four previous times. And you can see a diagonal trend line coming from May this year, where it hit highs of just over 2p. Mm-hmm. And that diagonal trend line comes all the way down, and you can see it squeezing the price with... you've got lower highs each time it bounces off that 0.5, 0.6 resistance level. Mm-hmm. And this pattern is often bullish, because when you get a break above that trend line, which is diagonally coming down, and suddenly, instead of creating a lower high, you create a higher high, then that instantly gives the signal that this stock's about to change its trend. I mean, what I'm seeing here is a standard kind of consolidation bottoming process. And in addition to that, you've got the fact that the most recent placing was at 0.6p, which is pretty much underpin the price at that level anyway. For me, there's quite a bit of confluence in the 0.7 area. And when I say confluence, it simply means a few indicators and a few different things showing a resistance level. There's a few moving averages. You've got that trend line pretty much around that 0.7. So for me, on that stock, I'd be looking for a daily close above 0.7p. And I think if we get a daily close above 0.7p, we'll see it shoot up towards 1p pretty quickly. If you look at the fundamentals as well, which is obviously important on AIM, you've got a company that's valued at £2 million.
Yeah.
You've got 1.1 million cash in the bank. So over half the cap is covered by cash in the bank. And as per the RNS today, actually, they recently signed a JV with NTOG for 50% interest in an oil and gas asset in Egypt. And that's already producing 200 barrels of oil per day for IRG. And more importantly, it's actually generating over $100,000 in revenue per month, which is pretty decent for a 2 million market cap company. And I know Greg's been pretty open about his ambition to target 1,000 barrels of oil per day in the short term. And that's going to be via developing existing assets like this one, and also bringing new assets online. I know he's looking at a few different assets and acquisitions in the North Africa region, and that's probably going to be largely funded by a debt facility. So I'm not seeing an awful lot of downside at 2 million market cap. And then you look at the chart and you kind of bring everything together. It's one of them where you kind of think, well, I'm not even at a disadvantage, because I could buy in the open market around 0.6, which is where the placing is. There's going to be limited risk around there. As soon as it breaks out to the upside, which it will do shortly, my personal target would be 2p probably in the next few months going into January, February next year. And if Greg gets anywhere near his 1,000 barrels of oil per day, then I think 2p will look pretty cheap, to be honest. I mean, what's that, 6.5 million market cap for a company with 1,000 barrels of oil per day?
Yes.
Wow. So yeah, I mean that's one that I see it, and a few other people have mentioned it before. I kind of see a kind of Seb Resource, African Potash style re-rate here over the coming months. It's really consolidated for a long time in that 0.5, 0.6 range, and I think we'll see a big breakout soon.
Yeah, exactly. There are a lot of research that you can tell, and I like that a lot. And do you know what? I'm looking back even to May. Was when it hit a low of 0.525, and it only spiked down to that level pretty much. So I mean, and it's literally bounced off that, hasn't it, for the last six months.
Yeah, and now we've got the placing underpinning the kind of price, and we've got obviously this JV with NTOG, so they're now producing, they're now generating revenue, and They've also got a Tunisian. They own 86% of a Tunisian oil and gas asset as well, which I did a bit of research over the weekend, and they've got an unrisked resource potential of up to 175 million barrels of oil recoverable. So they said in the RNS today they're going to be looking at JV and farming options kind of short term, which I'm assuming means over the coming month or two. So again, I mean, they could bring that one online pretty quick as well. It all, it's quite a diverse play here. So I'm seeing a lot of positives, very little negatives, and I think we could start to see retail interest pick up, and I think Greg's starting to get the ball rolling.
Yeah, and it's odd, isn't it? Funny when, like I said, when the market is down like this, we're talking about it and we think, well, where's the negative here? But that's sometimes when the market is in a state that's grinding lower and lower, it presents these opportunities, doesn't it, you know?
Oh, it does, and unfortunately, you just need patience. The RNS today may have created a 20, 30, 40% spike if money was sloshing around and everyone was bullish, but it's just not the case. Whenever a stock is 5, 10% up, it's just getting sold down at the moment, but that won't last. Got a few people trying to make a quick buck, but really there's no real opportunities to do that. You've got to pick your entries, do your research, and patiently wait. And I think IRG is one that will reward quite a few people in the short and medium term.
Marvellous. Andy, can you do me a favour? Could you send me the chart of that and with your little annotation there? I'll put on share pickers and people will see what you do with the chart. And obviously, I'll put your link to Twitter there as well. Could you do that for me?
No worries. I'll do that this afternoon.
Marvellous. Thanks. Lovely to speak to you, Andy. And we'll be seeing each other again soon, I think, at a Big Gibbs evening event. I think you go into that?
Yeah, no. I'll be there. 3rd of December, isn't it?
Marvellous.
Sounds like he's done a fantastic job.
Yeah, phenomenal job. The amount of companies he's got going there. And it's all
should
for
be good.
Free. Yeah, and we'll probably even be on the same train. So here we are.
Maybe. I might give you a text.
Yeah. Cheers, fella. Speak soon.
Right, cheers, Justin. Bye.
Okay, it's time for today's penny stock with potential, suggested by G-Man. What's the name and ticker symbol? It's Prem, Premier African Minerals. Minerals and minerals. What would you say, short or medium or long-term investment? Short to medium. How many shares in issue? 791. What's the current price and market cap of the company? It's 0.675. In fact, just check this because there's a couple on the waiting list here. There's a bit of a backlog of these suggestions. It's 0.625 at the moment, just below 6 million market cap. Lists three reasons why you think this company has potential. Now, I've got to take my hat off to... to G-Man, because he's done a lot of work here. He's put all the research in here, or certainly done a lot of groundwork. So if you go to sharepickers.com, you'll see all this. I'm not going to read it all out, because it'll take forever. It'll double the length of the podcast. But here's some of the three reasons. Number one, recent highs of 3.5 pence. It's now found a technical flaw at around 0.6 pence. Number two, should it achieve profit from mining operations within the next month? And the project pipeline is this. And this is where G-Man has gone into four big bullet points within that number two reason. And it's about RHA Tungsten. 50% is ours. I won't go into it. Suffice to say, go to sharepickers.com and check it out. It's a lot of research they've done for you. Number two of that point is about Zulu. Has a 5 kilometer strike length. And number three is about Benin. 100% owned by Prem. And number four is Circum Minerals, 2% owned by Prem. And reason three is Circum value to Prem alone is over £10 million prior to issue of mining license. So go there, sharepickers.com, check out the homework that G-Man has done on Premier African Minerals. Why do you keep saying minicles? There's no such thing as minicles, is there? Premier African Minerals. And see the good points there that G-Man has come up with. And by all means, if you think you know of a penny stock with potential, just go to sharepickers.com, click the link, fill in the form, and I could be featuring it in the next few podcasts. That's it for the podcast today, apart from to say this dedicated to Johnny Two Spoons, who gave me this review and cracking rating on iTunes. This is the title of the review. Need this in your life. Thanks, Johnny. Sharepickers is hands-on down the best podcast out there today. That's a phenomenal recommendation, isn't it? Considering how many podcasts are out there, Johnny says, this is the best out there. Listen, Johnny, you know, hand on heart, I love what you say. I think there's probably a better podcast out there. I haven't found one yet, and probably you haven't either, but there's got to be one podcast out there that's better, surely. But Johnny, I appreciate that loads. It's great for not only the experienced investors, but also the newcomers like myself with inspirational stories from top dogs of the AIM game and great interviews with CEOs. Keep up the cracking work, fella. I will, fella. Thank you very much, and keep listening, Johnny, and spread the word, because I do appreciate that. And by all means, if you want a podcast dedicated to you, go to sharepickers.com, click the link, and just put in the review that iTunes, so give me a 5-star rating. I'll dedicate this podcast to you. In the meantime, I hope you enjoyed that. We've got quite a few CEOs on this week from Horizonte Mining. May have the guys from Feedback on, just done a good deal. Also, who else is there? Servision and Independent Resources. Yes, IRG, who Andy talked about on the podcast earlier. So looking forward to that. Thanks for listening. Speak tomorrow. Don't forget, don't buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation on this podcast. It's only just opinion. Please, do your own research. Yeah? Muchos. Appreciate it.
The ADBFN Podcast with Justin Waite.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
I'm here on the job site with Dale, who's a framing contractor.
Hey, good morning.
Dale traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for all his business vehicles. We're here where he needs us most.
Yep, they sure are.
We make it easy for him to save on all his insurance needs, all in one place, with coverage that fits his business and bottom line. Oh, I shouldn't have looked down.
It's all right.
We're so far up here.
Look at me. Take a deep breath.
Oh, I'm good. So good.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at Geico.com and see how much you could save. Get more with Geico.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Labor Day sale and get 35% off paints and stains August 22nd through September 4th. With prices starting at $31.84, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.